anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got on the show UFC lightweight Cody Steele. Welcome to the show, Cody.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
You began wrestling around that 2008 period, right? And you were living at the time in
Port Angeles, Washington.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that point in your life, seeing that that kind of prepped up your grappling experience?
Yeah, so I remember I was a kid. My mom, she wanted to get me into wrestling, like, a lot earlier, like, when I was, like, just, like, a little kid. But I thought it was weird because I thought we had to wear, like, singlets, like, all the time. And so I was like, no, I don't want to do that. But one day, all my friends, they were at the, we were in the cafeteria, and they were all just like, they're like, we were about ready to go to recess. And then everyone's like, oh no, we're going to stay for the wrestling meeting. I was like, what the fuck? Like, go to the wrestling meeting, bro. And they're like, yeah, I was like, all right, I'm out of here. But then I was like, all right, where are you going? And they're like, literally all my friends decided they were going to do the wrestling meeting. So I was like, fuck, okay, I'll stay here, hang out with everybody. And then they had wrestling practice the next day or something like that. And like, then the next day, sure enough, everyone's like, yeah, we're going to go to wrestling practice. I was like, the hell? All right, fine. Fucking weirdos, I'll go. And I ended up going, and I just like freaking loved it. I was like probably like one of the better guys out of all my friends that did it. I was definitely the kid that enjoyed it the most, you know? But I started when I was like in seventh grade. So I was probably about like, I don't know, like 12, 13 maybe. And then I wrestled my eighth grade year. And then after that, I got into some trouble, like with like fighting and stuff, and on school. So I didn't get to go to school my freshman year. And so I didn't get to wrestle. Then I went to a new school, and I started a wrestling team over there, which kind of was like, you know, blessing in disguise, I guess, because their wrestling team was really good. And I started wrestling my sophomore year, and then my junior year I wrestled. And then after that, I went my senior year. I moved away from Washington and moved to Texas. And then when I started there, they didn't have any wrestling. So I was just like, was playing football and stuff. And then once football season was over, I was like, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I was like, oh, I'll do like jiu-jitsu. And that's when I started jiu-jitsu.
Let me know about the Brazilian Fight Factory under Rodrigo. So do you still train with them every so often, or is that kind of the past?
It's a little in the past, you know, but he's the guy who I started with him as a white belt, and then I trained with him all the way until I was a black belt, you know. And I still see him, like he'll come to my fights and we still talk and stuff like that, so we're good. But yeah, he's definitely the one who kind of showed me the ropes on like what jiu-jitsu was and everything like that. And yeah, he taught me everything, you know.
Cody, during your journey, you've kind of moved around America a lot. So do you get to see your family or no?
I see him a little bit, but not as much as I would like. At a time, we were living in in Texas. We all lived together. We're all like close and stuff. But then we all started kind of like, we still lived there, but we didn't see each other all the time because I was just so busy, I feel like. But yeah, now we're a little spread out, but yeah, I see him sometimes. I think I just saw my sister last weekend because I was cornering one of my buddies and he was fighting in her city. So I got to see him. And then I drove out to, my mom was out in California. So I drove out to go see her and stuff. So I'll definitely try to see them as much as I can.
Cody, when I was doing some research on you, I believe there was a quote that you stated that if you're doing MMA, you can't fake hard work once the cage door closes. So tell me about this. How do you approach that once you get in there, everything that you've worked towards and this opponent that also has worked, something will occur that cannot be faked.
I feel like it's kind of just like, I'm pretty confident in the work that I do. I'm every day, I'm putting it in, I'm putting in the work, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So, then when it's time to go fight, I feel like I always have my nerves and stuff like that. But I do see a lot of people around me sometimes, or, through my journey, I've seen tons of it where like people are just barely doing it. And then you can go out and do jiu-jitsu or a wrestling match and barely do it and win a match, lose a match. But I mean, if you just like, if you do that and you take it to MMA, unfortunately, yeah, the MMA is just such a brutal sport that you could just get knocked out or like permanently really hurt, So, and then also I see these guys who don't really train very much or train hard. And then when they fight, it's like you could tell because you can see how scared they are, and how nervous they are. And yeah, that's just not something that I would want to be in a type of position like that,
I heard that you wanted to throw up before matches in jiu-jitsu and wrestling because of how much pressure you put on yourself. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, I feel like I'm getting pretty good or a little bit better at like putting the pressure on myself and like being able to handle it. But at the end of the day, it's like super fun for me to go compete. Like it's scary, but I miss it if I don't do it, So something that I need all the time in my life for a little bit, at least in the meantime. But yeah, I'm always nervous. I'm always scared. I always feel like, anxious and stuff like that. But I think I just change it out to just say I'm more like, I'm more excited more than nervous. I'm just excited to be there, excited to compete, excited to show out. And it's just competing tough. It's a tough game.
You have a different, a quite interesting grappling system because you've got that good wrestling base, but you're also a really good jiu-jitsu player. So tell me about that wrestle jiu-jitsu that you've been working on specifically for MMA. What do you see as the development for jiu-jitsu coming into MMA grappling? Because we've seen a lot of players try and play the guard or lose in those positions because, from my opinion, in MMA, jiu-jitsu right now is more of like a reactive sport instead of the proactive nature of wrestling progressing. So, a little bit of insight on that.
Yeah. So it's a tough thing. I feel like sometimes you see a lot of jiu-jitsu guys come over to MMA and, they don't do very well because they're not really good wrestlers, they'll like play guard and stuff. So it's like, like some guys that come in with high level jiu-jitsu and it's like they're gonna win a couple fights because they have such a loophole there. But once you get like to a bit higher of a level, or even not even a super high level, just someone who can sprawl on you, it makes everything terrifying, So it's like you need to get to the ground to use your jiu-jitsu, but if you don't have wrestling to use your jiu-jitsu, then it's like you're kind of fucked, So it's like you gotta. The hardest thing for me was to, use my punches to get close so I can get my hands on these guys and get them taken and take them down. But like in jiu-jitsu, like I don't know, everyone to me is a little soft in jiu-jitsu. If I just grab a motherfucker and squeeze him and I start going for a takedown, like he's gonna fall down for me because that's just the game. MMA, dude, like everybody knows how to sprawl, everyone knows how to kind of wrestle, everyone knows how to play anti-jiu-jitsu. So the game's a bit different for sure, you got to use your more punches to open things up to get the submission, or like I said, you got to use your punches to get in on some people so you can get the takedown. And that's like that's just the whole name of the game, and like controlling and understanding distance. Like we're moving together, I'm crashing when I want so I can get that takedown. So yeah, that's the toughest part, and that's the I would say that's the biggest thing for me that I'm working on. Like I feel like in jiu-jitsu, everyone knows more knows me for like my wrestle jiu-jitsu type stuff where I would be wrestling people and then I've used my jiu-jitsu and all that. And I think that's like a good style to have for MMA. So it's like if you come from like an ADCC background, I think that's like a good background of jiu-jitsu to go to MMA. Like if you have like an IBJJF background, I feel like, if you're like world class, you'll do good. But I think if you come from an IBJJF background, I think you're probably gonna not do that good. You'll probably be shit in MMA, especially if you're like kind of a guard player. I mean, unfortunately, like we just had Bushesha. He's like our god. He's our Hall of Famer, Gi, IBJJF world champion, and he's running into some problems at the highest level. Trying to take people down and submit them and things like that. Like I don't know. So it's a tough game. It's you gotta know how to wrestle in this sport. That's for sure.
For MMA, I've seen a lot of people when they go to do their penetration shot, I've seen a lot of hesitation with some guys where people get caught. It's too evident that they're going to shoot the double, and it's almost like they're using their body, putting their head down before they shoot, but not timing it as the person's coming in to either change angle and take them down, or to get in a single. So instead, I've seen a lot of fighters recently. Instead of timing it and shooting and going, there's hesitation there, and that hesitation, the opponent can see that and start throwing shots, knees, or have get those underhooks beforehand, or get the uppercuts off. So I want to ask you, why do you feel that people struggle with that in the cage? What do you think is the main reason that in MMA people are hesitating when they go for their shot during the fight?
I'd say probably just like it's just like the confidence of their wrestling. Like they know their wrestling's not that good, so it's like hard for them. Or like maybe their striking's not that good, so it's like they don't trust their striking, so they're kind of like in this halfway thing where they're like trying to land shots to get close, but like the guy knows that's not real. Those aren't real punches. He just knows you're just throwing hands. It's the bullshit, so you can get to the legs. So a lot of times people can just see that and feel that. They can like move their feet, make an angle, make space, crack fools when they come in. So it's kind of just like if you have the more well-rounded your game is, you're gonna do better, especially like if you have like really good ground game, you have a threat to feint to the feet to go to the ground, which opens up the striking. And then if you're landing good strikes, then that means he's thinking about the strikes. You're cracking them. You're popping his head back. That means you can fake the strikes, then go for the takedowns a lot easier. So it's just like playing with it. But sometimes, people don't have great takedowns, and so it's hard for them to shoot in and make the chains. And sometimes, like their striking's not good enough, so they have no threat on the feet. So then someone's just like, "All right, I'm not scared of this dude's hands." So those blocks see everything coming, So it's a hard thing, especially like I said, I was talking about the range and the distance. Like sometimes, like if I want to shoot on this guy and he moves back, that's not a good time for me to shoot. I almost want to like push him, and then as he comes back, then I want to shoot on him, and like try to find that timing when a good time is to shoot, and have those setups. That's like a smart way to do it. Like GSP, he was really good at using his jab, and he would like stick people hard, and then when they'd come in, he would like feint, he'd feint the jab, and boom, and he'd shoot a double leg, So it's like also just being smart in how you can set up your shots, stuff like that.
You were talking a little bit about the doubles and the methodology behind that. What I've found, which is interesting, is John Jones as well as GSP, they gravitated a lot, mainly John, to the judo trips and that kind of like that clinch style tripping game. It, more of like an off balance game, kind of like judo, instead of wrestling kind of laboriously, similar to a Marab style where you just keep on shooting freestyle. So do you think that it's more productive if you're a wrestler or if you're a jiu-jitsu player to expend less energy getting the guy to the ground. What are the benefits of shooting freestyle and kind of utilizing a lot of your energy within the fight where you could become a really good judo player, trip player, and play off the trips more so than your freestyle shots?
I think the judo throws and the trips, I think those are low energy and low risk. So I think they're good. Sometimes a little hard to get sometimes. And then the shots and the double legs and stuff, like maybe entries easy to get to, but hard to finish, you know? So, you know, I think though, like mixing the two is good. Like for me, like I like to like say, like for jiu-jitsu, like I'll go out in my first match or in the beginning of my match, I like to get like inside control. I like to collar tie. I like to pull on people's heads and like make them tired a little bit. And then once they get tired, then I'll fake like I'm gonna go to that and boom, I hit a blast double and stuff like that. Cause like if I try to go off in the gate, even if I set the takedown up really nicely and I shoot, sometimes the guy's so fresh and so strong that he's gonna sprawl on me regardless, you know? But if I get in there and I make it dirty, I start pulling on the dude's head, show a couple arm drags, pull on his head, feint, 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 and then all of a sudden I shoot a hard double leg. I'm probably gonna blast double him off his feet because he's just not expecting it. And he's tired. And so for MMA, how I kind of look at it is like when I clinch people, or maybe I take a shot on the double on the like a single leg or a double leg, because those are really easy entries to get to, like to get into, and then they're gonna sprawl, and then I come up straight up to the clinch. And then from there, like as I come up to the clinch, I can sweep them. Or maybe as I come up to the clinch, I start using my dirty boxing and my elbows and my knees. And I pull on their head, I beat them up a little bit, get them tired, maybe put them on the wall, punch on them, clinch them up, pull on their head. And then all of a sudden, now the double leg comes and it's a lot easier to finish because he's tired. He's not expecting it. Or now I get back in the clinch and now the sweeps, but or the judo throws are a lot easier to hit. That makes sense.
One fighter that I've been seeing doing that really well is Marab, of course. And I know that, you know, he trains at Syndicate as well. So he said, everyone said, oh, Marab's one of the best freestyle wrestlers there is in the UFC, right? And then he came out and said, I'm actually a judoka, you know, I'm a Georgian judoka. So tell me about that. Have you been able to train with Marab? I know that you guys have disparity in terms of weight class. So have you gone to do any work with him?
Oh yeah, Marab, he's the man. He's honestly, like I said, he's the machine for a reason. I've literally never met anybody like that guy. He's got a motor and he's got a gas tank like I've never seen before. And the thing is, he shows up every day and he's always going. It's crazy. And he yeah, I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot just by watching him do his cage rounds. I learned a lot from him when I roll with him because I train a lot with him. Like when we do like specific training in the class, I don't do too much like cage sparring because he does a lot of his rounds in the cage, or he does a lot of his rounds in the cage because he's always getting ready for a fight. But I do a lot of like wrestling and jiu-jitsu and grappling and all that with him. And I do some striking with him too on striking days. But what he's doing is cage rounds. I normally am watching him and stuff like that. But yeah, he's the master at it, man. I will say his wrestling and everything is friggin' super good. But like I said, that cardio, that gas tank he has is a secret weapon. Like that's what, you know, I see him, I kill everybody with. Like I watch him do cage rounds. It's like first round, I'll watch him. I see people do pretty well with him. Second round, like they do pretty well, but towards the end of the second round, you see it on their face. They're like, oh fuck, this is not getting good. And then third round starts, it's like a whole different fight. Like Rob's just like a dog chewing on his chew toy, just fucking mauling these dudes. And he's crazy. And the longer I've been here a little bit longer now, so now like honestly, when I watch him, I don't even see people to have good rounds with him that much anymore. I just see him beat on people all the time. So he's definitely like leveling up. Like he's getting better, even though he's at the age that he's at, and he's the champ and he's the GOAT. But like he's still getting better. Like I watch him, I'm seeing him get better all the time. It's crazy.
It's absurd that he's gotten this fourth title in the span of 1 year. What do you think about that? You know, he fought Umar, and eventually, you know, that was an interesting fight where Umar's hand broke at one point. Then the second fight with Sean was completely different to the first fight. Showed a great improvement, and then Corey looked like he was doing well, and then Marab stayed consistent and burnt him later on into the fight, dropping him, and now he's got this fourth fight with somebody who is already completely dominated, and I don't even know what the scorecard was, if he got some 10-8s in the first Piotr fight, but now he gets to rematch Piotr, a better version of Piotr, which I don't see a situation where Yan can even do something different, a different approach to beat Marab, seeing that Marab's improvement so much improved so much more so than the first fight they had.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, it's hard to really bet against Marab nowadays because he's just, you know, he's the man right now. But I don't see that fight going any different besides the fact that maybe Marab will be able to finish him this time. Peter Yan is very scary. He's extremely freaking talented and skilled. He could be the champ, like, on any given day, you know, like, he's the man. But Marab is still like sometimes it's like I feel like you'll see people climb this mountain of champions, and they finally get there and they're like, whew, sick, I made it. And then they kind of stop showing up to class, they stop doing things and like whatever. Like, but for Marab, it's like he's always in the gym, he's literally always training, like he's always training hard, he's always going, he's always doing it. Like, he's training like if he didn't have the belt, you know, like, so I don't think like he's gonna look at Peter Yan like, I already beat you and this. Like, he's looking at it like he's ready for the rematch and he's gonna try to beat him, but not only is he gonna beat him, he's gonna beat him worse than he did last time. Like, I think he wants to finish him this time, you know? Like, he's like you said, he's a machine, he's a crazy dude.
That's really good for your career that you get to work with somebody who pushes the pace so well. And I know that you were quoted saying that you specifically want to fight the dogs in the division and people who push pace. So now that you're continuing your professional career, what are you looking for? You're looking for this next fight in the UFC to break into that lightweight division and really have a performance that shows your skill level in the division, because you had the Rongju fight, which was absolute war, which we got to see so many good attributes from your game, but I think that you now need these next fights where you get to show all the skills that you had in terms of grappling, in terms of a holistic MMA game, which you possess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I got to the UFC, you know, it's something that I always, you know, dreamed about, but I also like knew it was gonna happen one day. But you know, I started MMA like, I don't know, like 3, 4 years ago or something like that. So the fact that I'm in the UFC so soon is a little crazy. You know, it was hard to like wrap my head around that. Like, it's not like I've been training MMA my whole life and like I've been waiting for this. It's like I was just like, all right, it's time for me to start MMA. And then I started doing MMA and like, I took a fight like not that long after. And then boom, 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 I'm 6-0 and fighting on Dana White Contender Series. And now after that, like 2 months after that, they're like, now I'm fighting on a pay-per-view card in Australia. And I was like, God damn, like this shit go crazy. You know, so you know, it was a little hard, but like at the same time, like I was just like, it was exhausted and I wasn't ready to make my UFC debut. I mean, I just wanted to like work on some things, but I said, fuck it, let's go. Then, you know, I got to the fight and I was like, shit, man, I'm about to make my debut, my UFC debut. Like, I just want to fucking just show my heart, show my grit. Like, I want to get in a fight, you know, like I don't really even care, you know. I just want to get after it and not have a shit fight and have a boring fight and stuff like that. So I just went out there and had a slugfest and did what I did. But you know, now Like, I've had that process. I've had time. I've learned from it. I've had a lot of time this year to get better. I've been training every day. So now I'm just like waiting for the next one. But now my mentality is more like to get performance of the nights. Like, I want to get in there and make it look easy. And I want to get in there, mix it up, and show all my skills, not just only strike and get to a striking fight. So, you know, I think I have all the attributes. I think I have all the things. I just need to play my hand right and play my cards better, which, you know, the other day, like I said, like I'm there to compete now. I'm there to win, and it's time to like start moving, you know. So, and I think it'll come again. Like, I think of like later on in my career, like I'm gonna light up against somebody who's a dog, and we're supposed to fight each other because that's what we're supposed to do, just try to kill each other. And you know, I'll have another moment where I throw down and go hard, but for now it's like I'm gonna go in there, and the guy gives me his neck, I'll take his neck. If he wants to give me his arm, I'll take his arm. So I'll take whatever they want to give me, honestly, at this one, you know, just here to get in, get out, cash a check, and get on to the next fight form.
Cody, do you feel like you felt pressure going into that debut to have that type of performance? And who do you think that pressure was coming from? Was that coming from yourself, or was that coming from a coach, or what do you think was going on to make you perform a different way?
I don't know, maybe a little bit of combination of a couple things, you know, like maybe me not, you know, me, I put a lot of pressure on myself for sure, you know, for me. Maybe just like, yeah, I don't know, it's probably just a combination of stuff of the people around me, you know, everyone just believing in me and stuff. Like, definitely when I lost at the end, I was like, fuck, I like let everybody down. Like, I'm not that guy, you know, and I'm not that good. And yeah, you just, when you take an L, you just fucking have to reassess everything and get back to it and build your confidence back up. 'Cause after a loss, you know, it breaks you down. But yeah, I don't know. It's a tough thing. It's a scary thing too, you know. I feel like even if I didn't have the pressure on me, or people didn't put pressure on me here and there, then I would still, you know, still be a problem. It'd still be tough, 'cause it's just a really tough game.
I've got a question for you about coaching. Have you ever had a situation where you were doing something a certain way throughout your whole career, and then a coach or a teammate came up to you and said, maybe try it this way, and it completely alters the direction of your whole martial arts style?
Yeah, sometimes, especially out here in Vegas, because out here in Vegas, I mean, I've even had this back home when I was living in Austin, but like everyone thinks their shit's the good, this is like the best shit ever. Everyone thinks their recipe is the best, you know? Like, this is what I do, so it's the best, and you should do this because it's the best. Like, it's like that's just how everyone thinks, most people around here. I kind of move with the people. Like, I like working with people who know a lot, but and they don't really have like a, like they're never saying like never do this, never do that. Like, they're very open-minded, you know. Like, if it's like maybe like why do you throw this, it's like you'll throw this because you'll throw it like this because if he's a little farther, I'll hit him like that, but maybe if he's closer, I'll probably throw it like this. Both are right, both of them are the same. I wouldn't say either of them are wrong, but it's like whichever one, you know, is there at the time or what. And this, like, I like coaches like that who have answers for me. I don't like, yeah, I don't really like coaches. And I can kind of read it pretty quick. Like, if someone's just trying to like fucking big dick me or something and trying to tell me like how smart they are, like, I'm like, I don't know, I can figure it out myself. Like, I'll ask someone a question, and however they answer the question, I'll understand what I'm kind of getting myself into, you know. So, but I always listen. I'm always learning. I take what everyone says for a grain of salt. I'm never like, they'll show me something, and I'll never be like, that shit don't work, you know. I'll just be like, it's either for me, not for me, or maybe it will be, and I'll just keep playing with it here and there, you know.
You had a rapid rise with towards black belt in jiu-jitsu. I want to ask you, do you think that the wrestlers have a better time in jiu-jitsu in their development when they get into jiu-jitsu, more so than a jiu-jitsu player entering a wrestling mat?
I don't know. I think they kind of both
can go hand in hand with each other, you know. I think we just see more wrestlers come into jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. But I think as time goes on, there's going to be kids that do jiu-jitsu but also wrestle, you know? So they're just going to be like these hybrid little athletes. But I think what you see more is you just see now, like, I mean, casuals will just jump into the jiu-jitsu class and they start jiu-jitsu and they get good at it, you know? So it's kind of like, it's just kind of, yeah, like I feel like we just see more wrestlers come into jiu-jitsu, which is good because it's such a, they already have like a good block of it covered, but jiu-jitsu is like all groundwork, you know? So if you're not playing off your back and learning like the different type of guards and submissions and games you could be playing, then if you just, like, I see a lot of wrestlers come into jiu-jitsu, but they only just keep wrestling. They don't ever even do jiu-jitsu. So it's like, I feel like it's just like this weird thing, but yeah.
What do you think competing in the IBJJF and all the no-gi competitions that you've been a part of gave you that you couldn't get within MMA or UFC?
I think I've all the competing I've done in jiu-jitsu, it's just given me a lot of reps of like live situations of like, yeah, not punching myself out, but like, you know, competition experience, dealing with nerves, dealing with weight cuts, dealing with, you know, losing and then dealing with winning and then also dealing with like making comebacks, like me losing in the beginning, coming back at the end, or me sleeping on somebody and then I beat my ass or something or whatever. Like, I did think it just got me a lot of experience. Like, I feel like you could do like kickboxing and stuff like that, but and get a lot of experience that way. But also at the end of the day, after a kickboxing match, like your face hurts, your head hurts, like your shins probably hurt and shit. And then it's like, but if you do a jiu-jitsu tournament, you could get four matches in one day. And then depending on how that those go, like you don't have that really many any injuries. And literally next week you could do another tournament and get four more matches. So it's like you can get so much more experience by just competing and grappling, I feel like. I think that's gonna help transfer over to MMA.
Cody, what were your opinions on the Dana White Contender Series going on the event and then the kind of controversy that took place with your opponent that pulled out? I was looking at the backstage footage of you getting your hands wrapped and then they cut them off and then John Wood comes back to you and wraps your hands again for it to be cancelled afterwards, and it just seemed like a it was almost like a fucking shit show. That day. So let me know about that. Now looking back at it, did you get something positive out of that experience?
I don't know. Like, sometimes people say we'll look back on that one day and be like, that was awesome. And I still look back on that day and I'm like, I don't know if it was that awesome because it was such a like a mental roller coaster, you know? Like, for one, you know, I had to make weight again like 2 weeks later. And I was fighting a completely a new opponent. And in my opinion, I felt like he was way tougher than the first opponent I had. So I was like, God damn it. And then also it's like, yeah, it was just a roller coaster. Like, I couldn't really believe it, but I was just like, fuck, I don't know. What can you do? I mean, I was upset, I was whatever, but I was just kind of like also like, yeah, like it's, you know, like I said, like I was saying earlier, like fighting it, it's so fucking scary. Like it's just a different animal, you know? Like, you could do, I've done Muay Thai tournaments, I've done kickboxing, like matches, whatever, and I've done wrestling, I've done jiu-jitsu, and there's nothing like MMA and fighting. Like, it's just like the consequences are so much more insane. So you got to definitely be careful. And so yeah, you know, when he freaked out and was like, fuck that, I don't want to do this, I was like, man, you pussy. But at the same time, I was like, almost like, you know, it's all good. Like, I get it. It's fucking tough. You know, your head's against you when you're in there for some reason. It's not ever with you. It's always against you. It's always going to tell you, like, you ain't shit and you're probably going to get knocked out, even though I did everything I could to try to not to let stuff like that happen. But your mind will still tell you that it's going to happen.
Cody, you and me have kind of spoken about the grappling part of your game, and then with the Rongju fight, the kind of brawling type of your game as well. So you're building all these skill levels and you're building new skills going to syndicate and working with all these people that have expansive games, holistic games. So what do you think for you right now for your martial arts career is your goal? What are you currently focusing on that you wish to improve?
Like everything, honestly, like it's like I just gotta keep on getting better and keep working. I feel like if I just keep working my wrestling as a base, like everything's gonna get better, like if my wrestling gets better, like my punches, the takedown get better, then everything's gonna open up. Like my submissions will be start being there, my ground and pound will start being there, and my knockout shots are going to be there when I fake the level changes and they come over the top or whatever, like all that's going to be there for me, if I can get these fights to the ground. So just getting that and getting these motherfuckers to the ground is kind of the big goal. I mean, working clinch and stuff too. Like clinch is really good for guys who like to grapple and stuff. So yeah, I think everything has a base, but I think as long as I keep my wrestling sharp and keep it strong, then I'm gonna start winning these fights.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Cody, for your time. Is there any final remarks that you can say to the fans at home as we wrap up the podcast today?
Yeah, hope everyone's doing good, and yeah, I'll tune in for the next fight, whatever that fight may be. But it'll be fun.
Follow Cody Steele on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you all next time.
Become a combatant.